And now, The Elusive Mr. Smith, starring Ruth Hussey. Transcribed from New York City, your Army and your Air Force present a romantic comedy titled The Elusive Mr. Smith, starring Ruth Hussey. Our story opens in the Radio City office of the Kane Detective Agency. Rupert Tracy, the agency's secretary, well-versed in the batting averages of his favorite team, the New York Yankees, and the frailties of mankind, is sitting at his desk reading the sports page of the Daily Trumpet. He is content. The Yankees have beaten the Brooklyn Dodgers the day before, and Rupert is reliving every moment of the game. The outer door opens, and a tall, dark, well-dressed young man enters the office.
Is this the Kane Detective Agency?
Mister, you made it. What can I do for you?
You the boss of this outfit?
Nah, just the bat boy. The boss is making with the heavy thinking in the inner office.
Will you tell him that a Mr. Stevens of the Trans-Pacific Insurance Company wants to see him on a matter of the greatest importance?
Okay, mister. It's always a matter of the greatest importance. But I'll tell the boss. Boss, there's a Mr. Stevens of the Trans-Pacific Insurance Company to see you. Send him in. Okay, Mr. Stevens, you're up. Casey Stengel will see you now.
Stengel?
Excuse me, I mean the boss.
Pardon me, miss. I'm looking for a Mr. Kane.
You haven't looked in vain, Mr. Stevens. Only it's Miss Kane.
Well, as the fellow says, we learn a little every day. I would ever expect that the boss of the Kane Agency would be a woman.
I would, for one, Mr. Stevens. And besides, haven't you heard? This is a woman's world.
I know, Miss Kane, but it is a bit unusual. I mean, you're so beautiful. Soft brown hair, big gray eyes. And from what I can see of your...
You can take my word. It's all right.
I'll take your word for it. In fact, I'll go a little bit further. You remind me of a song, a very sentimental song. I hope you don't think I'm being too fresh.
Fresh isn't exactly the word. Let's call you observing and let it go at that. But I'm sure you didn't come here to tell me that I remind you of a song.
You're right, Miss Kane. I've got a problem, and it's a beaut. About 7 years ago, two partners of a real estate firm in San Francisco insured each other's lives for $50,000 apiece. One of the partners, Harry Smith, disappeared from San Francisco about 7 years ago. He hasn't been heard of since. We had a lead that he came to New York, but we haven't been able to find a trace of him.
Harry Smith, hmm?
Uh-huh.
That's a cute name to try and trace. Yeah. So unusual. And your company's holding the bag, is that it?
That's it in a nutshell, Miss Kane. According to the law, if we don't find Harry Smith by the first of next month, he'll be presumed to be dead. And the Trans-Pacific will have to pay $50,000 to his partner and I.
And you what?
I'll have to face Granite Heart Gallagher, my boss, and tell him I've failed in my investigation.
Cheer up, Buster. I mean, Mr. Stevens. All may yet be well. Now, how much longer do you have to find the elusive Mr. Smith?
20 days. I know it's a short time. Frankly, I've tried every means in the book, the police and several other agencies. I happen to hear that you've had some unusual successes in cases of this kind. And, lady, I'm on the make for a miracle. If you have any Indian rope tricks up your sleeve, I sure would like to see them. Will you take the case?
Yes, Mr. Stevens, I will.
Fine. When I hear in the briefcase the results of 6 months' investigation, and it all adds up to nothing. And, Miss Kane, I'll expect a report from you every day. I'm staying at the Roney, and you can reach me there.
Well, you may expect a report from me every day, but you certainly won't get it. I don't do business that way.
How do you do business?
You'll get one report from me when I've completed my investigation. It will be very brief. It will state that I either have or have not located Mr. Smith. If I do locate him, it will give his address. That's all.
That's kind of unusual, Miss Kane. Why, any other detective...
Well, I'm not any other detective, Mr. Stevens. My methods are very much like my teeth, my own. And now, Mr. Stevens, I'm afraid we'll have to break this up. I've got work to do.
Well, goodbye, Miss Kane. I'll see you soon, I hope.
Well, how'd you make out, Mr. Stevens? Did the boss take your case?
Yeah, she took it.
Then relax. You now got the best operator in the business going for your dough.
Say, how would you like to make $10?
Oh, so you want some information about the boss, huh?
Well, since you put it so bluntly, yes.
My friend, I'll have you know that I cannot be bribed.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Don't put the wallet away. I shall accept a 10 spot for my favorite charity. What do you wish to know?
Is she married? What time does she usually leave the office, and what's her favorite restaurant?
No, 6 o'clock and the Napoleon House on East 68th Street.
Thanks, yeah. And just as a matter of curiosity, just what is your favorite charity?
The Rupert Tracy Foundation for the benefit of Rupert Tracy.
Rupert, I know you're allergic to work, but I'm afraid there's no way out of it. Do you think you can tear your mind away from the Yankee Stadium for a couple of days?
Oh, sure, boss. You know me. When the chips are down, old Rupert answers the gong like a firehorse. Besides, I like getting paid. What's the pitch?
All right, now listen. I've been all over the papers Mr. Stevens left on Mr. Smith's case. It's the old story about a guy pulling up stakes and vanishing into thin air. There isn't a solid lead in the whole report. But I did come across this.
Uh-huh.
His wife, whose maiden name was Abigail Andover, left him 2 years before he disappeared from Frisco.
Yeah.
Well, there hasn't been a trace of her either since she ran away from her husband. They were married in Boston in 1935, so it's a fair bet that she comes from somewhere around there. Now, I want you to go down to the airlines terminal and grab the next plane for Boston. Here's what I want you to do.
Miss Kane. Oh, this is a happy coincidence.
Is it, Mr. Stevens? Are you sure this coincidence of yours hasn't been helped along a little?
Why, Miss Kane, how could you ever think anything like that? Now that we've met, how's about taking pity on a lonesome visiting fireman and having dinner with me?
Well, all right, Mr. Stevens. But you might regret it. No salad, girl, I. Lucille restores the tissues with thick, juicy steaks.
Eat on, MacDuff. Hey, taxi!
Oh, that was a grand dinner, Steve. But I positively won't have any more. I don't want to be known as the fat man's girlfriend. Tell the truth. Did you ever see a girl eat more?
Oh, you ought to have Sunday dinner at my mother's house sometime. She'd call you a picky eater. Well, Lucille, I wouldn't swap you for two pitchers and an outfielder. Say, what do you say we make an evening of it? Music, dancing, the works. Let's really give Granite Heart something to think about, huh? When he reads my expense account.
It's a deal. We'll give Granite Heart an ulcer on his ulcer.
Where to, mister?
Red Angel. You know where it is?
Mister, I'm a cab driver. Of course I know where it is. Let's go.
Oh, what a break. You know, this is really my evening. That's the song I told you about. You know, the one that reminds me of you.
Oh, Steve, I told you flattery would get you nowhere, but I could be wrong. Tell me more.
When I was a little boy, about 10 years of age, I fell in love with a little girl with soft, curly hair and big gray eyes. Still remember her. Man, she was as cute as a Christmas toy. And she moved away and was heartbroken for almost a whole week. Now, your hair isn't quite as curly, but your eyes.
Hello? Steve, yes. Yes, I feel fine. Oh, I'm a little tired. 4 spots in one evening's a bit too much for me. It was still early. 3:30? Might be early for a milkman, but not for me. Am I glad you kissed me goodnight? Mister, the questions you ask. And do I what? Steve, you sure do work fast. Well, all right. Maybe I do a little. But don't be buying any wedding rings on the strength of it. Will I have dinner with you tonight? Steve, I'd love to. 6 o'clock sharp. Okay. Goodbye, darling. What did I say? Skip it. Consider it a typographical error. Bye now.
Boss, boss, I'm back, I'm back. I ain't exactly got the bacon, but I got a whiff of it.
Oh, that's Mama's boy. Remind me to make a donation to the Tracy Foundation. Draw a chair and tell me what gives.
Well, here's the lowdown, boss. After running down some false leads, I finally discovered the address of an aunt of this Abigail Andover, or Smith. The dame lives out in Newton. That's a suburb of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I had a long talk with the old girl, and I found out that Abigail...
Good morning, Ronnie Towers Hotel.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Seward Stevens, please.
Thank you.
Hello, and who is it?
Hello, Steve.
Huh?
Weep no more, my baby. The elusive Mr. Smith has been found, and he's very much alive.
Good.
You can send a wire to Granite Heart and put him out of his misery. Come on over to the office, and I'll give you all the details.
Oh, baby, you're marvelous. How can one girl be so beautiful and smart, too?
Save that stuff till later. But don't forget it. I want to hear it all.
You can go in, Mr. Stevens. The boss is expecting you. And the news is good. The Kane Agency never misses.
Thanks, Rupert. I see the foundation is devoted to a worthy cause.
Oh, hello, Steve.
Hi, baby.
Say, I got a break. Rupert found out in Boston that Abigail had graduated from art school and that she'd been in the second-hand furniture business.
So?
An aunt of hers received a letter from Abigail about 2 years ago in which she mentioned that she was going into business on Monroe Avenue in New York City.
Monroe?
I put myself in Abigail's place and decided what I would do. I thought that if I was going into business, I'd try and combine the two, art and second-hand furniture.
Mm.
And that suggested the antique business. And with a name like Abigail, well, I'd call it Abigail's Antiques.
Logical.
I looked in the phone book, and sure enough, there it was, on Madison Avenue.
I thought the aunt said on Monroe Avenue.
Yeah, well, it was Madison Avenue. She just got the presidents mixed up, that's all.
Boy, wait until Granite Heart hears about this. He'll want to fire me and make you his chief investigator. Hey, but what about Mr. Smith?
Abigail gave me his address. She sees him every once in a while. He's operating a hot dog stand in Rockaway Beach and doing fine. He works about 5 months a year and loafs the other seven. He loves that life. Seems he just got tired of the real estate business and took it on the lam. I guess he forgot all about that policy, for he certainly isn't trying to hide from anybody.
Well, that wraps up the case of the elusive Mr. Smith. And now, honey, let's wrap up the case of the elusive Miss Kane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Steve, I hope you understand that the elusive Miss Kane can't be wrapped up unless a knot is tied in the process.
All right. And no slip knots.
Well, then what are we waiting for, darling?
Thank you, Ruth Hussey, for a thoroughly enjoyable performance. We'll be looking forward to having you with us on Voice of the Army real soon. Well, it took a private investigator to find the elusive Mr. Smith, all right, but you don't need one to find the right career for young men with ambitious plans for the future. All you have to do is go to the nearest U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station and find the information right there waiting for you. Learn about the wonderful opportunities which exist in the Army and in the Air Force today. The security, excellent training, development of leadership, and recognition of ability by earned promotions. All these are features of a career which you can't afford to overlook. In addition, there's the spirit of adventure, travel, and an active life. So visit the nearest U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station for complete details on your future. This program was brought to you by your Army and your Air Force in cooperation with this radio station and your local recruiting office, and was specially transcribed for presentation at this time. The Elusive Mr. Smith was written by Sergeant First Class Walter Dowling and directed by Charles Wilkes. This is Joe Ripley speaking for the Voice of the Army.